Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, thank you, mate. How are you?
Good, good. You know, just kind of making do like everybody else.
No soccer season certainly hurts that, huh?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, it's funny because when I first started doing this, outside of all the organizational aspects, I really kind of didn't know what I was getting into. And then finally, as you get like through your first season or even during the first season, you realize how enjoyable it is. You know, I always told myself, I'm in marketing, and so, you know, always behind a desk and, you know, dealing with a lot of business type stuff. But it makes me think about sort of the other passion that I thought I might get into later on, as I kind of started being around kids and having my own kids, was that teaching would have been like a really cool endeavor as a career.
So you coach your own children on both teams that you coach?
Yeah, I do. I coach my own kids. And it's, you know, it's a little challenging, but what's nice is that it keeps you got to be objective, you know, about it. The nice thing is that, you know, because they're young and it's not at like, you know, the middle school or the high school where, you know, playing time is really based on your performance and effort. Because it's, you know, we're really kind of more focused on just effort. Hey, you give 100%. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how talented you are or how good your skills are. As long as you are trying and out there kind of, you know, enjoying yourself, then that's really all I care about. And that's going to determine. So all things equal with around effort, everybody plays the same amount of time. And that doesn't really kick in until, you know, third and fourth grade.
Sure. You know? Yeah.
Prior to that, everybody's out there. And, you know, in practices, I have some kids there, like, you know, when they were kindergarten or first grade. And we'd be out there, and I had to have a kid who just really isn't into it. And kind of, so I would run out there, I'd grab his hand and I'd run with him and, you know, hey, come on, kick the ball. And then we'd, me and the other, you know, parent coaches would like, you know, kick the ball in as we're kind of running with him. And then, you know, would say, hey, Dylan got it or whatever.
What, so a goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you do what you can, but it is a careful balance when you're the coach of the kids that are on the team, and you got to really make it so that, you know.
Did you play soccer growing up?
I did not. No, I played American football.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so your first kind of experiences and kind of, I guess, beginnings in soccer was taking on the coaching role for your kids. So what was that like?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was interesting when I grew up in the East Bay in Berkeley. And, when I grew up, soccer was just kind of getting started. Organized soccer was just really kind of like, and it was the kind of thing that a lot of sort of, you know, first or second generation immigrant families and kids were the ones that were involved in. Like if a kid had like a mother or a father that was from, you know, South America or Europe or whatever, then they participated in soccer. You know, it was really kind of a big, so in general, it just wasn't a big thing. And so I never got involved in it. I never realized sort of what the sport was all about. But I did everything else, like baseball, football, basketball, and did really well, and even continued to play football all through college. So when I was introduced to soccer for the kids and took on the role of, okay, well, you know, they need a coach, they need someone. And I've coached kids in martial arts and other kinds of activities, babysat when I was in college and in high school and whatnot. So, it was just, for me, it was just a matter of, okay, at this stage at kindergarten, it's really kind of, how do I keep the kids engaged? How do I make this fun for them? It's not necessarily about winning or losing, because you guys, as a league, you guys do a great job at kind of like, this is all about learning and development in the younger years and getting them enthusiastic about it. So I really kind of look to, one, the clinics that you guys had, the coaching trainings and whatnot, but really just hitting videos like YouTube. U.S. soccer's got a lot of really great stuff, a lot of really great techniques, formations, you know, that you can show the kids and kind of get them into it, as well as the games and the skills sort of the core skills. And of course, as I'm showing them these things, I have to kind of pull my own athletic abilities and learn them myself, because it's a little hard to kind of just tell them what to do without really showing them. And if you do it really poorly, then it's a little difficult for them to say, "Oh, Coach Eric, he really knows what he's doing. You know, we'll listen to him." And so
did you, when you take on all that material, you see all that sort of stuff, how do you start building a season? Do you plan the season overall, or do you kind of go week by week? And then based on that, do you then make what you find fit into what you plan, or do you plan based on what you find? Does that kind of make sense?
It was kind of week to week until you got into the sort of the girls started getting, so we, they did really well.
The girls
well.
Are fifth grade, right?
The girls are fifth grade now. Yeah, they're going into it. But after we finished the second grade season, we did really well and kind of dominated in the recreational A division. Being what that was, I kind of went along, you know, and tried to kind of figure out game plans and rosters, on-field rosters, substitutions, especially when there was like this whole level of, you know, each kid needs to get at least 50% playing time.
Yeah.
I had, you know, because on one side of it, as soon as you get into second grade and you're keeping score, on one side of it, you want these kids to at least, you know, yes, you're going to win and lose, but, you know, you want them to strive towards winning without necessarily, hey, we're going to win, we're going to go get them or any, that kind of attitude. So with that in mind, I did look at the kids. I did evaluate everybody based off of like a very large criteria, everything from, you know, effort, athleticism, coordination, behavior, attitude. I mean, there was a lot of different criteria, and these are all things that I knew about growing up in sports and team sports and what coaches would do to evaluate players. And it really was great at allowing me to sort of keep a careful, like a good balance of high effort kids versus low effort kids together on the field. So I never, you know, it was pretty rare. I always had all high effort kids on the field. And the only time that would happen would be if some more of the low effort kids didn't make that game. And then you would kind of have that kind of situation. Other than that, I had a nice sort of spreadsheet that I could look on my phone that kind of had, so this kid's going in, this kid's, and measuring how much playing time each kid. So it always added up to above 50% throughout the game. And it worked and it was a great challenge. But with regards to kind of planning ahead of time and develop and kind of coming up with either game strategy or plans, it was really about the personnel that I had on the team and then trying to play to the strengths of them. So for example, this group of kids, the girls that when they're in the second grade and we ended up going off into, doing well, and the parents were kind of saying, look, we're going to take these girls, our girls, and we're going to put them into the club, you know, into the club system, because that's, you know, it was tough because that's pay to play. I played them. And they ended up winning the division in the upper house for, I believe it was for the third grade in that fall. And I go, yeah, you know, we met, we played against each other. And he goes, oh yeah, I remember that team. He says, you guys were good. I go, yeah, it was tough. You know, we had a lot of good moments. I think it was just a matter of, you know, finding a good balance with the girls that are on the field and coming up with a good game strategy and all that. And he says, you know what your problem was? You sub too much. He said, you play too many of your girls. He said, and I was just like, what are you saying? I mean, that's the whole goal. They're like 8 years old. All right. And he's like, no, I get it. I know. That's, you want to do that, but it's a challenge. I was a challenge. And I go, yeah, but you know, that's for me, that's not the end goal at this age. And so anyway, that said, we took a different approach with entering into club or into the upper house division. No travel. None of the families that we work with. First of all, there's a big thing about multi-sports. There's a big thing about year-round sports. There's a big thing about that, you know, when you're young and you're developing both mentally and physically, you know, we're starting to see, or not starting, we've been seeing a lot of sort of repetitive stress on kids, you know, in their development, too many instances of obvious good slaughter in the knees. And so, you know, a lot of times these clubs, they really, in the pay to play, and it's not just soccer, it's hoops, it's volleyball, it's you name it. It's really kind of problematic because these kids get kind of, and the families get all this thinking that you got to focus. It's like, oh, are you training for the Olympics or something or what, you know? But I think it's just kind of this narrative that the sort of the pay to play industry on all the clubs really kind of push upon these kids. Sure. And these families. And it's kind of, you know, I actually just wrote our athletic director at Sacred Heart about this and saying, hey, look, you know, I know that you see participation in team sports dropping because of the sort of the, you know, pay to play industry. I mean, hell, Little League is non-existent in some communities throughout the U.S. because of pay to play baseball and club baseball. And it's so it's kind of something that I knew early on. And so my whole take with soccer and with doing Upper House was giving the families this opportunity for them to continue playing, continue developing their interest and skills in the sport, but also, you know, not be so committed and not buying into this year-round commitment such that, one, you potentially will burn out before you even get into middle school. I already know two girls who quit, who went the club route, and they quit. They've quit. They haven't played soccer for the last few seasons. Yeah, already. And so it's – anyway, so what I've been left with in terms of sort of like, you know, preparing was really just a matter of kind of, one, bringing in outside resources. So I will go and the parents will all pull together and we'll hire like a coach. And I've done that a couple seasons.
So then how do you, knowing like your experience with growing up playing multiple sports and beginning to see the burnout, and as you said, kind of embracing multiple sports for the girls, especially, how do you approach kind of working with the individual players? What are your relationships like with the individuals? Do you set kind of goals for them or objectives for a season and kind of that overall relationship? Because I think a lot of people may look at working solely with a team and think about like my team winning Upper House Division A or getting into club as a group and so on. But I mean, we all know that it's players that are really the individuals that are going to go on to college or go on to loving the game forever. And so what's your approach working with individuals?
It's really more focusing on kind of the areas that you kind of see that they need help on. So some cases it's more a matter of just confidence and a bit of aggressiveness out there. And so I'll have conversations with the girls. And it's kind of like, it's a difficult situation, especially since I'm the only coach that's out there on the field, and I may have like a parent out there kind of just, you know, taking girls to the bathroom or whatever. So having individual time is a little difficult, but what I will get, you know, grab every now and then with an email to the parents is really saying, hey, here's some videos of some, say for example, maybe it's just kind of some shielding drills or something like that. You can do this with your daughter. I mean, you're heavier, so it's actually a great exercise that you guys can do and have her just push against you and kind of keep that ball on her outside foot and really kind of keeping herself in between you and her and the ball. And so it's kind of things like that, that I'll give individuals information and stuff to work on. Other than that, I will just email the families and say, hey, look, these are the areas that I would like these girls, your daughters, to work on. Please, you know, if you can, 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day, watch the video. I've actually sent some of your videos around to some of the girls.
Good, I love it.
Which have been great. So so thank you for posting. Those have actually been really helpful. But yeah, so my kind of like player rating, which, by the way, I only see this and other coaches see this. Parents don't see it. Other kids don't see it. It's really kind of a very personal thing. And it's really for us as a way to strategize on-field rosters. And it's nice because I'll update it in the beginning of the season and then I'll look at it at the end of the season. It's like, oh, wow, her score is a lot higher because she really improved so much in these areas. And so So it's nice. And then I'm able to have that as a talking point with the parents. So we did have, so it's interesting. So since, you know, we've had a rec team and an upper house team, and the questions I get is, well, how did you determine? Because we don't have tryouts. We don't have cuts or anything along those lines. It's like, everybody wants to play. Everybody's going to play. It's really, I put a survey out and I had them essentially answer some questions about their child's interests and their effort and their commitment as a family to the two. Because really the big difference in terms of commitment is, well, for upper house, you have to attend both practices, two practices a week. And we ask that you at least get some kind of, you know, time at home practicing. And, you know, also with regards to her interest, is she really super interested in soccer? Is she really ultra competitive? Does she want to win? Does she have, you know, does she have this very enthusiastic, you know, thinking around the game and her team doing well? And there's like eight different criteria that I ask of them. And then I have, or is she really more interested in the social aspects and just kind of being with her friends and, you know, like soccer, but doesn't love it, you know, it's kind of like, and doesn't necessarily want the commitment. And I used a lot of what you guys provided in terms of, is it time to go out for club? You guys have a nice webpage that kind of talks, and there's some really good sort of a self assessment questions that families and the kids should ask themselves about what it is that they, what kind of commitment. So that's how I distinguished between the two. And so we did that and it worked out great. And so when I saw a couple of the girls that had, the parents had requested them to be on the comp team, I said, look, it's, she's being more of a distraction in practice. She's not, you know, excited about the game. When she plays, she kind of walks around and, you know, doesn't want to be there. And so, the parent kind of pushed back on it and said, oh, you know, she's a player. She's a go-getter. You don't understand, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, actually, she told my wife when she took that group of them to the bathroom that she hates practice. So it's kind of like, you know, and then in the end, he ended up saying, look, she's just not going to play. She doesn't want to go to rec. She's just not going to play. And I was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't going to force them. This was all, hey, I'm asking. She was one who wasn't really enthusiastic about it. So it just made sense. It was a very logical, very rational kind of approach.
But anyway, you see a lot of that with players that are just, there's almost like parent will is imposed more than the player's will. And I find, especially with the players even I coach, I try and have relationships that they can be honest with me and tell me how they're feeling. And do you find that that's maybe the case with some of your players too, that it's more of a parent kind of desire for them to be playing or for them to be involved in something more than the kid?
I think it's a combination. I see a little bit. I mean, there's kind of varying levels of it. I haven't seen yet a parent who's disillusioned about the child's abilities and desires quite so much. I did have another child who was in sort of the same camp, and it was like literally every time I'd put her in, she'd have this look of fear on her face. And I said, you ready to go in? And she's like, you know, just, and I was like, okay. So anyway, I presented it to her parents, and her parents were very, they were really, they wanted to be involved and understand exactly what was going on. And their big concern was they really didn't want to hurt her feelings. And so they wanted to kind of figure out, they understood that it's the best thing for her, but they also didn't want it to be, they didn't want her to be crushed or hurt. And so we had conversations. We went out for coffee. We walked to, you know, after school, after drop off, we walked for a little bit and talked and that was their big concern. And I said, okay, well, here, let me give you some points, some things that you can share with her that I think might help her. And she literally comes to me at the next practice and she says, Coach Eric, she goes, you know what? I think I would like to play with the rec team. And I go, are you sure? And she goes, yeah, yeah. She says, I think it'll be better for me. I think it'll be better for me. And I said, you know what, Sophia, you're a great player, and You know, you're going to, at some point, first of all, you need to keep this going. You need to keep playing because you are really an amazing little athlete. You're one of the fastest girls on the team. And lo and behold, we put her on the rec team. And of course, I would see her. She would just shine. And she was out there on the field more often. And it just was so much better for her. So that was a situation where just the parents, just you had to kind of work with the parents to really kind of, you know, communicate, be fully transparent. And understand that this isn't, you know, it's not about building some all-star team. It's about finding an environment that's really, that's good for your child such that they can continue to enjoy the experience.
It's so awesome. And it's so empowering to give that time. So you have that conversation with the parents, you have that conversation with the player. And whilst you definitely think that it's better for them to go into the recreational team, you create the environment and the situation where you say, well, it's kind of your choice. Let's talk about it. And then when they feel empowered to have made that choice, and I think this is so true of almost any child, they feel like they own it. And then, like you say, they come in and they shine and they feel good. They feel excited about what they're doing. And then if we're really looking at, like you said, what we're doing right now, we're not building an all-star team. We're building individuals that are going to be good people, but they also love the game of soccer. And right. This is an individual that will remember the game and remember what Coach Eric did and how much fun she had playing on the field and getting playing time. And it's really cool for people to hear the idea of how you kind of work through the teams and the girls that you're working with and the individual relationships, the whole planning and the just everything that's around just a youth soccer team, and especially being volunteer run like that too. So it's a really cool story. You've been really involved in our league. So I just want to thank you for everything you've done and continue to do for the game of soccer. And so
I appreciate that. And thank you too for all that you guys are doing. Cause honestly, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. So thanks, Lee. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Eric.